Welcome to Diaries of a Data Scientist, our podcast in which we share about what's important to break into data science, provide valuable insights also for senior data scientists, and invite interesting guests from different data science areas. We're Yasmin and Kate, we're both data scientists and mentors working in industry, and we are sharing here our thoughts and experiences. Let's go! Welcome everyone to our 12th episode of Diaries of a Data Scientist.
Hi guys.
It's again Kate and Yasmin sitting here for you, and today we're going to have an awesome topic, which is about the importance of data science and AI communities, especially in organizations. And this topic is very, very close to our heart. And so today we're going to hear about that. And if you don't yet have a community at your company, you know what we're always saying, like, do the first step, take care of that yourself, and think about and consider initiating such a great community.
And I guess today, Yasmin, you will tell us all about how to organize that thing, how much effort it takes in order to do that, and how many people it also takes in order to organize this kind of event for people in the organization.
I will definitely do that. And just as a sneak preview, I can tell it's incredibly amount of effort. You know, if you haven't went through that yourself, you wouldn't imagine how much time can go into building up a community, but also especially creating this kind of live events. And actually by coincidence, we also have a community live event next week in Ludwigshafen for our AI community in BSF. And we're really like in the hot phase of organization right now. And it is amazing, but it's also taking a lot of time,
honestly,
and like brain power.
Like, to support a little bit of you in this kind of thing, what I feel is that I'm honestly maybe right now even a little bit jealous, because I would love to do something like that as well. But also I'm really interested, like, in your experience, because maybe we can do something like that later. I'm like in the next year. So it's pretty, pretty interesting. And is it going to be online or offline?
No, it's like both. But the priority is actually that we bring together the community, which is located here in Germany, like in presence, so physically. Some of the sessions are going to be also streamed. And this is actually an event series which we are rotating over the different digital hubs we have in BSF. So the idea is basically, you know, that maybe at some point we will get all of the digital hubs doing that event in 1 year, but you will need a lot of also local support then.
Yeah, okay. So that, because, like, you know, I will not be able to be offline, and I really wanted to. I even wanted to do the business trip for that, but I guess it will go to be just online for me. I would love to stay a little bit at home.
We've kind of jumped right into the topic. Let's bring back a little bit more of a explanation, because if you're like listening to this right now and you're like just asking yourself, what are you talking about, Kate and Yasmin? I have no idea, like, what is going on? I mean, what we mean with an AI community is basically, if you're working in a company and you're working as a data scientist, and you're maybe, like, you know, embedded in a team of business colleagues, and you're doing the data analysis and predictive analysis for them, you might at some point feel a little bit lonely, you know, like a like the odd one out. This can happen after a while. And then it's really, really important to know some other colleagues with similar or related roles, such as yours, as a data scientist or data analyst or data engineer, with whom you can exchange also maybe sometimes ideas. And obviously, many of the things we're working on in the company, right, Kate? Like, they're confidential, or they are internal stuff.
Definitely.
So we can't just, you know, use some
public
forums to exchange. And that's when it's really, really important that you have your network internally. And of course, that can be privately your network. You know, mature organizations should actually really put some thought into organizing a proper analytics and AI community, where then all of the colleagues taking up these roles can take part. And so this is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, just, I feel that is a very, very crucial activity that you would have in the organization. Because as you very correctly said, you can be working with a business side a lot and like feeling yourself a little bit as a lonely wolf, maybe feel that you're not speaking with people on your own language. And you might have, because of that, sometimes perhaps, you know, like negative state of emotions. And that is why it is so essential. And for me, for example, I find it really helpful. It's not only to talk with the people that you kind of belong to and you feel that they will understand you the way that you want it to be understood, but also it is a very great opportunity to have a learning experience, right? This is something that you are missing where you're not working specifically in any data departments.
Yeah, and at this point, basically people who are distributing budget in companies are saying like, oh, well, yeah, community stuff. Well, it's nice to have, you know, but let's see if there's a little bit of money remaining after all of the budget is distributed. And then, yes, we can sponsor like this community or do a little bit of event or, yeah, let's see, right? And this is exactly how you should not treat this topic. It's not a nice to have. It's a must have. And today we want to convince you to also, you know, be a believer. And and if you're the person distributing the budget, maybe, you know, next time you're thinking differently about this topic.
So how do you think we should start? Because like it has so many like, you know, pain points.
Facets and dimensions. Definitely.
So which one do you want to start to cover? Do you want to start covering like networking part, or why is that so essential for the company to talk about that, or benefits for data people in the organization?
Maybe like, you know, I'm a very structured person, so I would actually love to start with a little bit more defining what kind of communities could exist in companies, and like, you know, what how different shapes and styles these communities could take on. And then we could maybe go into the topic of benefits of AI communities. And I think we should not let you out of this episode without also giving you a little bit of advice and tips on how to build a community, right?
It's so going to be definitely your topic.
Let's start with talking a little bit more about the different shapes and styles of communities, right? So I think foremost, you have to differentiate external and internal communities, as we already said, right? There's also great data science and like, you know, for example, the Python community, and there's meetups, and there's Py women or Py ladies, right? So these are, of course, great communities. They are external, and they're mostly also free, right? I think most of them, you also don't have to pay a membership fee or anything. And of course, like, you know, that's always an option for everyone to sign up there. But this is not the kind of community we're talking about today. What we mean are the communities that are more informal, a little bit also more hidden inside of the company's structures. And as mentioned, right, this is also very important, because some of the things that's going on are confidential. And also I think you need this tight-knit group of colleagues inside of the enterprise as well.
Can I ask you one question in here? So you said hidden communities in the organization. And this is what I see specifically in my field of work in BSF, is that not a lot of people actually are aware of those communities that we have, or any like, you know, global organization might have. And pretty much usually when I see a new data person coming in into our department, I'm like sort of the first person who's like, okay, let's do have a good to know, and that I will tell you like through 1 hour a bunch of communities that we have, we go through them together, I will add you to every single one of them. So and I feel sometimes that it's a little bit lacking of perhaps advertisement in the organization itself. Do you have the same feeling?
No, absolutely. And me being very close to this topic also, right? I mean, it's one point to build it up, but then exactly like you say, keeping that alive, maintaining such a community, and kind of making everyone aware of that, especially if you're like, you know, when you're in a growing stage and a lot of new people join a company, sometimes it can happen that people are falling through the net. And then like they're like working at a company like for 1 year or so, and then like they're suddenly being making aware of we have that community. This could have been so helpful to me, right? And that's exactly what you need to avoid as a community manager. And that's why I also mentioned this is not the exact role that I have in the company. Mm-hmm. But I can only recommend everyone who's doing something like that, honestly, that this is mostly a full-time role. So if you're doing that for a big organization, this is honestly a full-time role, right? You can't do that with 10% of your time on the side. And then exactly something like this happens, right? And
yeah, because you have to manage that, keep it alive, market it, make sure that other data scientists or like data people in the company, especially like the newcomers, will get to know about those communities in advance.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we're already talking about different roles, right? So when we talk about data science community or analytics and AI community, we're not just talking about the data scientists, right? But this could also be data engineers, data analysts, statisticians, machine learning engineers.
Python,
I don't know.
R communities.
Python females, software developers.
Yes.
So just also including, of course, different roles there who could benefit from such an exchange. And then, like, you know, what I've seen also in different companies, it's a little bit of a style choice. If you want to keep the AI community or the data science community only really like for practitioners who say, like, I'm working on this daily. Or if you're like a little bit more opening that up and say, okay, everyone who's just interested in the topic of data science, analytics, and AI can join that.
Yeah.
And I've seen different variations, and they all have benefits and disadvantages, to be honest, right? So if you have like it very open, that's great. Thousands, maybe possible thousands of colleagues are going to join that. But then, of course, your target audience is it's not that condensed anymore. So, you know, you will always have to think about, okay, if we're doing this event, should this only be like for developers and data scientists who actively worked with it? Is this going to be an event which should be open for everyone, right? It's just not as clear.
It's pretty much as with every single project that we're doing. For us, it's the same, right? We do have different streams for different target audiences. And I guess the same applies for the communities. You just need to target people provide content accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. So many colleagues are doing like this approach that you have like a core community, which could maybe be the practitioners. Mm-hmm. And then you build different layers around that, right? And maybe the outer layer, this is then just also everyone who's interested in the...
Yes.
Did you just see that thumbs up coming up?
I love this. It's a Mac feature.
Oh my God. Okay, good.
So we can do that, yes.
Yes, so that's one thing, yeah?
Just wanted to add about different styles of those communities, what I prefer a lot, and like... I really find it beneficial when you do have sort of scientific communities, when you know, invite different professors or PhD candidates from different universities, because what they are doing, they're actually trying to create new methods, new algorithms to tackle the current problems that we do have in the industry. And pretty much you have this sneak peek into what is going to be published after a couple of years. And you also have this, like, you know, you're not only in the industry working, but you're also have a little bit of the picking what is happening in the academia and research part of the data science field.
Find absolutely. It really beneficial. Yeah. And for that, you need to somewhat restrict maybe also the entry, right, to such a community. And as mentioned, I mean, we're talking mostly about communities as plural. And here you can already see this can also be a conscious decision as a company, as an organization, to say either we only want to have like one single community where everyone is going to be centered and distributed, or you can also allow to have multiple communities, also like, you know, different hierarchies, sub chapters, things like that. So I've basically seen different approaches here as well. I think it's just important to take a conscious decision about this and not just, you know, let it grow and not manage it, you know, because that's like when it gets a little bit messy, and then also maybe sometimes redundant work is being done.
Also, what I've just thought right now is that you might also have a community not on the organizational level, but on your, let's say, team or department level, if we're talking about data departments. And this is something that I really love. For example, you can have a let's say, optional, not official community for data people, where they can bring their issues and questions that they have been struggling with like for the last couple of maybe weeks or months. And mm-hmm. you have sort of this like discussion. I don't know, you're trying to build a machine learning model and you just keep getting very low accuracy and you've been like through every single article on the internet and you have no idea what to do perhaps. And these communities are such a help for you because you're going to take a lot of learning from your colleagues. So
absolutely. And sometimes, I mean, that could be the advantage if you have a smaller community or sub chapters, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. then the audience size is maybe between, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 people. Mm-hmm. And then also, especially junior colleagues will maybe be more open towards bringing such problems and, you know, are not afraid to post this maybe in a general world with possibly thousands of colleagues, right?
Yeah,
this can be a little bit of a barrier. It shouldn't, mm-hmm. of course, it shouldn't be like, you know, you shouldn't be afraid that anyone is going to comment, oh, my God, this is such an easy problem. You should have been able to solve that, right?
That I would say it's...
This is usually not happening at all, but mm-hmm. I mean, still sometimes maybe it helps, especially junior colleagues, to bring such mm-hmm. an issue to like a smaller audience first. Awesome. To wrap this up, as communities, you could imagine either to also make this mandatory, right? So right now we've been mostly mm-hmm. talking about this kind of voluntary, optional, like I'm gonna like go there and if I need help or mm-hmm. you know, but of mm-hmm. course you could also say as a company, as soon as I don't know, data scientists, data engineers joining, this is the community where you're at, you need to join that, and you know, this might could maybe be helpful to just make sure that everyone who should know about it knows about it.
Yeah, definitely.
But of course, like, also this brings a little bit more of this, you know, okay, if it's mandatory,
it's
maybe a little bit of added pressure. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, what you have to say and to give that a little bit of a benefit is if it's voluntarily, mm-hmm. you sometimes see that there's a group of key persons in that community taking the brunt of the mm-hmm. workload or like, you know, being the strong shoulders. Mm-hmm. Which is okay, but I feel that a community should really be also a give and take. So if you're only just going there and you take advice, you take recommendations, you benefit, you should also really consider to maybe engage to a little bit more, to give something mm-hmm. back. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely, for sure. And honestly, one of the really, really big benefits that I've just discovered maybe recently of such communities is that I guess especially it's happening in the big organizations, like specifically I would say global ones, like BASF, is that sometimes the data departments, they are so decentralized that you don't know what is happening in those departments as well. And perhaps, let's say that one department in Asia, they want to find a data scientist for a specific project. And through the community, you do have a chance to get to know actually that maybe in the US part, we do have that person already employed in your company. And through the company, pretty much, you can take that person for the project. So you don't need to get anyone else outside and spend a lot of maybe, I don't know, budget and time to get to a external new person. Just can get a person who's already working in the data department, but just in a different country.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've already crossed over into the benefits part, which is awesome, right? So I think that is increasing the transparency about who is in the community, what are the skill sets that are available in the company, especially as you said, mm-hmm. like in a global setup. Mm-hmm. This is one, I think, of the really key benefits of such an AI community. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the other side is, of course, also you've earlier described the onboarding part, right? I mean, usually if you're being onboarded in a team, right, you maybe have a buddy who's kind of feeling responsible for you, that you have a good start, which is awesome mm-hmm. concept. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, you're mainly dependent on that one person being able to give you really a good and full picture about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And honestly, this is a big burden also on the buddy, right, to try to know everything. Yeah. And just having various different perspectives and different colleagues mm-hmm. who can help you with that onboarding phase. Mm-hmm. And this is so important. And this also helps a lot to give you a little bit more like a broader horizon of what's going on, right?
Definitely. How do you think? Should we go to the beneficial part right now for our listeners? Because absolutely. Honestly, what I feel is that you got a lot from this. Yeah, it takes a lot to organize that. And that like later after beneficial part, I really want to ask you what it takes a person mm-hmm. to organize those communities, especially in the big companies. But as a data scientist, like as a participant of those communities, I honestly wrote a huge like sort of a map. I've showed it to you today, you know, like a roadmap for myself, what you will get. So pretty much firstly is the networking, right? That you got a chance to network with a lot of people. And primarily what is, I guess, also pretty interesting is that you got a chance to talk with different data-related people in different countries. And can you imagine that, like, we are from Germany, for example, engaging with people from Hong Kong or Singapore. And I mean, like, you would have totally different approaches, totally different education, totally different mindset to tackle the problems. That's already a lot. We've already, I guess, mentioned the collaborations with the projects and that you don't need to, as a company, like, spend a lot of time to get an external person.
Yeah, I think the main part there is actually, I mean, you might still be in some situations mm-hmm. of needing that external support, but the part is that it is increasing the transparency. And mm-hmm. we all know how it is in big organizations. So that's also very much connected to the networking part. If you don't know mm-hmm. the colleagues who can help you with that, you're lost. So that's why network is important. And that's why where an AI community can really help you to get to the right experts faster.
Yeah. And also, for example, right now I'm conducting data science sessions for the business folks. And we do have, you know, computer vision, natural language pre-processing, time series, Gen AI, so on and so forth topics. And I go to the community and say, okay, I don't want to talk about all of this stuff by myself. I want to have an expert who spend their 100% of working time working on those specific fields. And I go to the community and say, oh, you are an expert in the computer vision. Yasmin, please, can you please hold a session for us? Yeah, and I guess it's also pretty cool for business people to see mm-hmm. how many data scientists or like data people would you have, and it's like promoting maybe a little bit also as well, or like marketing different data guys.
Yeah, so it's also pretty cool. Absolutely. And but also one hard mm-hmm. benefit I really want to also mention, right? Because as at the beginning we said, it's not nice to have thing, it's a must have. And the way you need to think about this is, in the end, what matters is how good is your data science solution that your data colleagues and data talent can build, right? Mm-hmm. And if you see it from that side, as you've mentioned, right? So if you're able, as a data scientist, to connect, as like you explained, with different minds, with different colleagues who have mm-hmm. seen, who have a different background. I mean, this is really what I'm seeing a lot, right? So back 5 years ago, there was no, oh, do this data science master and then you're like golden, right? But many colleagues, they came in from a mathematics background or from computer science or like from purely mm-hmm. statistics, right? Well, we have also many data scientists from physics background.
Physics,
or even from like...
astrophysics, I also saw.
Astrophysics, exactly. And I mean, this is so cool, and you mm-hmm. want to benefit from that. And this is really when the best solutions are happening, when colleagues with interdisciplinary backgrounds are working mm-hmm. together on it. And I've seen this happening multiple times, starting from university, right? And this is really where the great stuff is going to happen. And not when you are like the one only data scientist among business folks trying mm-hmm. to somehow figure out. And you have no one to talk to, you have no one to challenge you, because the business people, they won't challenge you. They maybe mm-hmm. challenge you on the like on the business value part, but not on how you on your methodology, technical. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. You need someone to challenge that. You need someone to bring in new ideas. You can't mm-hmm. know all of the new papers, right? We've mentioned that it's so much going on, and that's where you can really also rely on the community mm-hmm. to give you like different kind of perspectives and inputs and challenge you. And mm-hmm. that's when better solutions are being built. And that's why organizations need to take this more seriously.
Yeah.
Completely. End of the episode.
never. I have one more thing to discuss, actually.
No, go which ahead. Is... It was just a joke.
Yeah, of course I know that. I thought about a safe place as well. Because while you are working, you, like, you know, as we talked about this couple of times, that sometimes you have very nice periods of time at work, sometimes, like, I don't know, not really satisfied, and you want to have a person to talk to. So let's say it's not a going to be like a psychological therapy or something, but it's going to be you are navigating to a data person and you feel safe discussing some questions, because this is something what I'm doing usually. If I do have a question in my field, I will go to one of the participants of the community to talk about the same issues and ask for advice, like a coach, and in this kind of way. And I guess this is really, really beneficial for participants as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I must say, it's also a factor for employee retention, right? I mean, it's one thing that you need to take mm-hmm. care as an organization. I mean, the data science field is so competitive. We all know about it. And now we've finally also been, like, this program has been there since maybe mm-hmm. 3-4 years, right? We see also more and more talent is coming into the market and being available. And that's when the competition is then even, like, you know, getting a little bit crazier also among the talents. And mm-hmm. one thing that I can definitely say is, if I were to interview for a different company and I'm going to be there as a data scientist, I would definitely want to know, as part of the interview process, what are you doing as a data science community? How are you organized there? Like, what are the different opportunities that I could benefit from? So, and if then definitely. The company starts thinking like, oh, right, maybe we should do something. Yeah. For mm-hmm. me, this is a sign of not being very mature yet in that area, and maybe mm-hmm. not a red flag, but a little bit mm-hmm. of a watch out topic. And that's when you, as a company, you can also set yourself aside from maybe the competition. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, we take this seriously, even if you're then working closely with the business, which is what you want, right? Because in the end, it's about business value.
Yeah,
we can give you access to this whole community of like-minded colleagues, of other talent, mm-hmm. getting to know different opportunities in the company and so on, right? Mm-hmm. That's really a selling factor.
Yeah, and as a community, you can also organize different trainings within those communities. As for example, we just recently had a training organized by BSF with IBM together, and it was, you know, it was such a great networking event from the people within this community. So that was amazing.
I can imagine it must have felt like coming back to school, like after summers, right? And you just see the familiar colleagues and you're like, oh, hi. And how's been your summer?
Yes,
only that the summer has been like the last time that you saw each other, or maybe like a training or like a community event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So right now, let's go to the more sweet part for me, at least. You said that it was really kind of challenging to organize this part, and that it should be your, let's say, 100% full-time position to manage that, to market, to get the content. And I know that we mentioned that next week we're going to have it, and BSF as well. So what it takes?
I think the most important thing in that equation is it takes a lot of passion and energy. Mm-hmm. If you have someone as a community manager who's like, oh yeah, this is just, you know, this is just another task. Yeah, okay, man, this is part of my responsibility. He or she might be able to set up the community and so on, but mm-hmm. I can tell you, people recognize when someone is just doing that as a regular 9-to-5, or if people are passionate about it. This doesn't mean that you need to do over hours necessarily, right? But mm-hmm. but if you're being passionate about the topic and you're bringing in a certain, this sounds maybe a little bit spiritual, but a little bit more energy also into the topic, it's a completely different playing field than not. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think most important factor, having someone who believes in the benefits of having this community, who brings motivation and passion, and also a whole bunch of creativity. Because you know, if you're mm-hmm. running this like you're
in the university, like lecturers,
standard like any kind of standard community, like you would run the same for HR or for sales and marketing, you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because same thing is different, also goes for the other communities, right? I mean, you have to recognize and appreciate who's your target audience? And in that case, your target audience are data people. These are like the, you know, and I say that with a lot of love because I'm one myself. These are the nerds. These are the tech people, and they want to feel welcome, and they want to be treated like that, right? They want to be treated differently than maybe like someone from HR, sales, marketing, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you have to appreciate and then accommodate as part of your offer. And this takes a lot of creativity. Mm-hmm. And that's when it's, I must say, to some extent, it can be beneficial that the community manager, whoever is responsible, is coming from that field. It doesn't need to be, though. I've seen a great people doing community management, and they had zero to do with like data science or AI before, but they were just so creative. They understood how to communicate, right? This is also certain skills that you have to have. So I think it just doesn't mean you have to come from that field, but you have to appreciate what do people want to see. And this is not the boring stuff.
Okay, that I like, you know, you already, I guess, sold me that idea. I definitely need to be on there online.
You need to bring in cool new, especially like for physical events. You can't just run it like you would do a hybrid event or a fully virtual event. You need to, of course, also then use that people are being there in presence and can do something a little bit differently. I must say, like having also done a couple of, say, more virtual sessions for our AI community, like we have our like big internal conference with the Data and AI Summit. This is also a lot of work, but it's a completely next level doing a physical event. You have to completely take this up differently. You have to organize maybe like some snacks and catering. You have to take care of water, and you have to take care of maybe audio setups in the room. You have to actually book a room, right? Which can be difficult.
Already challenging.
Exactly. It can already be challenging if everyone is now starting back to get this physical event.
Yes.
Maybe your preferred room is going to be booked out for a couple of weeks, and then you need to find an alternative, and this alternative is costing more. You only have a certain budget, of course. So, oh my God, the things you have to consider if you're doing this alone. If you're doing this alone, you're going to get crazy. This is why I can only say again, it's really like a full-time job, but also you need to get yourself support from different members of the community, from different places. In our case, for example, also for now organizing this bigger event, I am so happy to have awesome team member, shout out to Probel, who has been helping a lot on organizing that, but also our working students, and I mean they are like core Gen Z students, right? So they bring in a different kind of perspective to the things, which is again awesome. You really can't do that alone, so it does take time, but also of course the willingness of the colleagues to
help
also consume such an offer. If you have this and then nobody comes.
Yeah, of course.
Also
it's a little bit
great.
Frustrating, yes. And I guess also like what I want to really highlight here, that the ability to delegate, I guess, in this part is really important, because I know that not a lot of people are able to fully trust or delegate like tasks fully at 100%. And that is why it's also a very important skill.
Yeah, and especially for such event organization, right? And then you always have like a kind-hearted soul. In our case, it was like a colleague who's a great assistant who then really knows how to book some of the things. Like, you know, many colleagues, when they organize something like that, and many colleagues are doing this with 5-10% next to their normal job running a community. And then you're like, where do you actually organize catering? Where do you actually register external visitors? Like they maybe have never done this before. And then you need someone who has way more experience and wisdom
to help
than you to help you with that.
Yeah, perfect. I guess with that, we can definitely finish today's episode. And just to wrap it up a little bit. So we have been through today. Why is that really important, even crucial to have the AI or data science, or like any kind of like, name it, whatever you like, communities in the company. why is that important to have it like for different audience sizes? And we also might have totally different styles of managing these communities and the benefits for participants as well as for the managers of those communities.
Absolutely. And before I forget it, 25th of April, I'm going to be at the colleagues at BI or Die. And I'm going to talk about exactly also this topic, a little bit more related to why this is so important, AI communities, for also, you know, doing successfully the AI transformation in companies. So if you're interested in this topic and you want to learn more about this and, you know, just get in the conversation, come to Stuttgart on 25th of April and yeah, register with BI or Die. We're going to also add it to the show notes.
Perfect. So thank you guys for listening. That was Darius of a Data Scientist. Bye-bye.
Wonderful. Bye-bye.
This was Darius of a Data Scientist by Yasmin and Kate. And if you enjoyed the episode, remember to check out our YouTube channel and our LinkedIn pages for more engaging content from the data science world. Thank you for today, and seeing you in the comments.